the blessings of brotherly respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dityapi Tatyapi Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dityapi Tatyapi Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dityapi Tatyapi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Pradaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts, the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibited precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in the bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi, tatiyampi, sabha. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening, or even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self another, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. we are committed to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
This morning. So fun. Every once in a while, life offers some awesome spiritual teaching in the form of a totally random dream. I call it project dream. It's really fun. So last night I had one, and I'll just briefly tell the dream because I found it delightful. So in the dream, we had like a fun day plan. We're gonna go up to the mountain, go skiing, and I guess I had a ton of money, and I was like, I get to buy the best pair of skis that money can buy. I mean, they're like the top of the line, primo, super duper hot stuff item, and everyone is gonna be jealous of them, you know. They're my favorite color. I get to the ski resort and I meet a couple friends there that are big time skiers, and they're all excited. And I show them my skis, and they're all like, "Well, those are way too short for you, man. Those don't even fit." And I was like, "What?" And then I looked at them, and all of a sudden I realized, like, they were ridiculous. They were totally tiny. And like, oh no, bummer. And it was a really crappy snow day, and in order to get to where we were going, I had to put on the skis to get there, and I scratched them all up and dinged up my brand new skis, and now they're all dinged up, and I can't return them.
Right.
They're ruined. So it was like this item that I was so, I mean, they just made me so happy, and now I'm miserable, and I'm like, I hate these skis. God, why did I even buy them? I'm going to stay ruined. And while I'm kind of bemoaning my fate with my skis, my buddies had taken off and gotten in the line. And they got on the chairlift, and they're off and running. And then the next thing I know, there's this huge line. I was like, ah! And I gotta wait for like 45 minutes. Like, I'm not even gonna, like, I probably won't see my buddies for the rest of the day. And then I finally did make it a little while in the line, and I realized, like, I don't even have a ski pass. They're like crumbs. So I went up to the building, and I was like, I have to buy the little thing, you know, that would work on the thing. And I bought that, and then I got back in line, and I was like, oh, I have to go to this other place and buy a ticket first. So then I went up to this ticket booth. By then, I was just absolutely miserable. Absolutely miserable on this day that it was supposed to be. It was like, I have all the money in the world. I have all the time in the world. My friends and I get to do whatever I want. It's going to be so fun, and I'm hating every minute, minimal.
Yeah.
I get up to the ticket booth. The ticket booth opens, and who is it in the ticket booth but Sharon Huber? And one other person who worked there full time. Turns out,
Sharon's just part time.
Sharon was volunteering. Turns out, Sherry was just like me. It was a free day. It was, you get to go up the mountain, do whatever you want. She could have done anything. She could have bought a brand new pair of skis. She could have been on the top of a mountain. She could have been sipping boat drinks in the cocktail lounge. Anything. She chose for fun to volunteer in this cramped little ticket booth with this other person. They barely even fit in there together. And that's what she chose to do for fun. I pulled up, and I'm miserable. I'm hating life. And she's like, how can we help you? And like, just rosy cheeks. Both of them like still had a little bit of tears in their eyes because they've been laughing so hard. They're in there just like having the best time on earth. The joy and the laughter and love that was coming out of that little ticket booth was like radiating across. It was obvious no one in that ski resort was having as much fun as those. And so it seemed kind of maybe like a random dream, but I woke up and was like, oh my gosh.
A tiny bit of significance there.
A tiny bit of significance. Just the, and what was kind of coming in for me, where it really hit, was that place of the joy of selfless service. And how, and just the paradox of life. How, you know, we get freedom to do what I want, and we pursue like whatever I want, and it's miserable. And then in the act of this selfless service, you find everything that you ever wanted.
It's funny because I was just looking at something similar in the sense of one of the greatest spiritual opportunities is getting what we want.
And then, finding out what that's
like. And staying present to that. Because, of course, what happens is that when we really catch on to the principle that I project you're describing, life becomes amazing. And everything starts coming our way, and it feels like I really am getting what I want. And then the temptation to, the skis and the best color and the to get stuck in that is so huge. So that razor's edge of being able to receive what we receive, but never losing sight of it's not about the stuff. It's not about the thing that I'm receiving.
It's the how.
It's the how.
And remembering that the reason that we're in that place of abundance and receiving all of life's gifts is just absolutely magnificent. Like in the dream too, I don't know. It didn't go there in the dream, but it seemed like Sarah's going to have this amazing day. She's just going to have this amazing day. All that joy with that person, all the people she met and helped and shared love with, she's probably even going to get up and go ski it.
Exactly. That's what I was hoping.
There's nothing that's left out of it.
Because it's not an idea. Like, okay, no, I'm going to stay here and do this, and I'm going to serve. And, you know, it's easy to project as a sense of whatever life offers. That's the thing.
And in that place of openness and yes and selfless service, life just starts raining it down.
Exactly.
And like you're saying, to remember how we got there.
Yeah.
It's the process of the willingness to let go of getting what I want. And the willingness to just open to life.
Yeah.
See what happens and just stay open no matter what. I don't know. It's just so fun. And it's that quote, that too, that why we suffer, because 99% of everything we do is for the self and there isn't one. And I recently have been kind of receiving some of that abundance, that place of selfless service, in that, you know, kind of with the culmination of this construction project that we've been working on for almost a year now, that it is kind of coming to, you know, it's being wrapped up. And now someone gets to move in there and enjoy it. It's not going to be me. You know, it's like...
That's so huge.
The whole time.
Yeah.
And it was funny, too, because the whole time I'm working on it, it wasn't like... selfless service, like I'm being so generous. It was just showing up to do what
this is the work assignment.
Saying yes to life.
Right.
And in saying yes to life, I'm a part of this thing. Because it wasn't all for me or all about me, the entire experience was pure joy. Because I never once worried about financing it. I never once worried about materials, schedule, time frame, nothing. It was just like every day on that project was pure joy. Pure joy. And then at the end of it, to know once it's done, I'm not going to live there. I'm not even going to get. I'm not even going to go in there. I'm not even going to take pictures to show off. I'm not even going to get to go in there and kind of like revel in, like, wow, look at this place. It's done. It's given to life. And now someone else gets to enjoy it, and like, and hopefully for years and years, and to just feel that joy that's in that that giving. It's lovely.
That sympathetic joy. It's an amazing, amazing skill. It truly is. It really, to me, it's such a place of there is no separation.
There is none.
You know, I talk about it in the when we used to do the New Year's retreat in Marin County. And we go on walks, and those houses, those just amazing, huge beautiful house with views that just take your breath away. And three decks, one from the basement, bedroom with the hot tub and the, you know, and not enjoying it, completely enjoying it in the same way, maybe even more than if it were coal mine. I don't have to clean it. I don't have the taxes.
There you are.
But just that enjoying the, you know, existence of life.
Yep, you go right there. I mean, kind of in kind of imagining it, I have to go to my experience in here.
I receive it.
Which is the only place that it matters.
Yeah.
If I'm sitting on in the hot tub on the second deck, looking out of the bay or whatever, the whole point of that is what I experience in these energy centers. Yeah. It's that. And if I'm having it, looking at it, I'm having it.
And I truly think, I mean, it certainly bears out in my own experience, that sitting in the hot tub on that deck, it could be a challenge to actually have the experience.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because, oh, God, look at this. Now it's about to rain. Oh, my God, it's going to rain?
And that's the first day in my hot tub. I'm going to hire somebody to come.
Right. Do it. And, you know, gosh, that deal that I was supposed to make $1 million. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've just been recently experiencing the joy, that sympathetic joy, like walking by that place, that hermitage, mm-hmm. and seeing a little puff of smoke come through the chimney, and just imagining the coziness and the joy and a beautiful space created and just warm and comforting. I'm feeling every bit of that. I'm experiencing all that joy and warmth and comfort in right there.
Right there.
Right there.
Yeah. Boy, that'll take us far.
Sure will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Still somewhat similar. So I had this experience. So this Christmas I made a particular Christmas item that I've made before. I made a new thing. And I ran into someone a number of weeks ago at a quilt fair who had made this. She had made this fabulous sculpt. And she had seen the thing I had made, and she came up and she said, I didn't know you were an artist. And I started talking about her quilt. And we ended up talking about her quilt. And what I realized was, I really did want to talk about her quilt, but I also realized there was a kind of dismissing of what she
did. Right, let's not talk about Patty the artist.
and I looked back at that, I thought, you know, I wouldn't have done that to someone else.
I
would have dismissed someone else's effort.
Mm. Right. Mm.
So it's really important to catch that. And I thought that kind of aw shucks response is a kind of false modesty that actually is all about me.
Yeah. So let me clarify, make sure I'm with you. So like if there had been three people in the conversation, and so there's the quilt artist, and there was an artist who made this other thing that wasn't you, and the quilt person said to that person, I didn't know you were an artist. There's no way you would have just changed the subject and gone on to the quilt.
Nope.
You would have paused there, also recognized that artistic expression.
Right. So that was just, I was so grateful that I could say that. So.
And the other piece of it that you said is it makes it all about me.
Absolutely.
Right? Because then it's, you know, I'm taking it personally, and so then I need to kind of, but if it's just life, then why wouldn't I stop and enjoy it in the same way I'd stop and enjoy the quilt?
Yeah, self-abnegation is self.
Yes.
Abnegation. Right. So the other night we had a Christmas party at our house last week, and so all these people were here who had received that thing from me. Mm-hmm. So we're all sitting around the table, and they were saying, oh, I just love that. I just, you know, it's a thing that happens every day, and I love opening this, and I love this. And I sat there, and I started talking about it with them, and we were all just enjoying it together. It was the neatest experience, because we were talking about it. And I just got, it was so not personal, that I was free to completely enjoy the experience along with them.
Right.
And it just felt like such a happy lesson. It feels like what we were just talking about. Because ultimately, you know, really, there was the experience was, it wasn't my doing. It was that, you know, I was a vehicle for something that was just roaring through. And so to be able to take that sort of pleasure in something because I was no longer attached to it or taking it personally. And I had that experience actually was that encounter. So I had that experience every morning. I was like, oh wow, I love that, you know?
Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's you know what's behind that door in theory, but you can still receive not knowing what's behind that door.
Absolutely.
The mystery and surprise in front of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to participate in the enjoyment was, I think, a kind of a first, the level at which I was able to experience that. And it's one of those absolutely contrary things to what conditioning will tell you, which is, if you're sitting there reveling in something you did, you know, then it's all about you. But actually, you can only revel when it isn't.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And that we truly are on the receiving end of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So even though, well, I did it.
Experience of delight.
Yeah, an experience of delight.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's fun too. As you were saying that, it dropped in that metaphor of, you know, opening the advent calendar, which I have always loved. You know, just that kind of, oh, it's going to be back there. That's kind of how we get to see ourselves too. Mm-hmm. You know, there's that quote that we sometimes put on the board that, you know, people stop to marvel at mountains and oceans, and they never stop to wonder about themselves. You know, there's this assumption that I know me, but we don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that sense of just opening the doors and seeing the little mysteries and delighting in that.
Well, it's neat that you use that metaphor, because it occurs to me that's what happened when I caught that I wouldn't do that to someone else.
Right.
It was like opening a door.
Opening a door.
You see something, you say, I see something I never saw before, so clearly.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And that just so reminds me of how many times I've seen Sherry, you know, delight in things that she's given birth to.
Uh-huh.
You know, I always get it like that, because it's not taken personally. So, that's what my projection, so that she can just be there and enjoy this thing as much as all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And, what a great teaching that has been.
Yeah.
The conversation about selfless service is just, I wanted to keep going for a little while. it's interesting. I just had, as I sat down this morning, just some things arose about just situations that, I can just see being so focused on the I, and getting what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, not going to a place of feeling bad about it, but just seeing that. And, and one thing that, one situation that came to mind was, actually my mom's death, and she died, 4 years ago or so. And it was a pretty hard death. Mm-hmm. And I just saw. And, I was there to the best I was able at the time. But I did just see, wow. There was just so much in that whole process that was, kept... I kept coming back to the I
In the sense of?
About my relationship with her and what I wanted from her.
As she was in that process,
and
you wanted from her.
And probably just focused on the whole life, our whole life together. Just seeing that for the first time, like, wow, that's interesting. The person at that time just couldn't get beyond that, And knowing that to talk about this and what's coming in is there's even an I here trying to trying to do it right, maybe.
You should have done it better.
Yeah, you should have done better, sort of thing.
Can I tell you one thing that's dropping in for me as you're talking about it, which is that as you describe it, it seems, so that's your mom, regardless of how old she is and how old you are, there is that relationship in it. And that it occurs to me that in that particular period of time, for all of practice, the relationship with a mentor has deepened tremendously.
Yeah.
And that, as you describe it, what drops in for me is I wonder if all that was missing was just someone to mentor her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Through that process.
That's actually what I was seeing too. What it was being is a mirror for me about for this person and what she needs in the way of being accepted, embraced, and this just feels like it kind of follows through the sit, and I've been, this has just been up for me lately. There's a constant push for this person to, for me to do. It's so intense.
Do.
It's just like, wow, you know, the energy is just. And so, just and not responding to that, and sitting still with it, I'll tell you, and the thing of it just seems like,
just sit still. I mean, it should be even easier than doing stuff.
you know what to do, just. It truly is that life and death. You can feel that identity just like fighting for its life. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
We've got to move now.
Yeah.
And
as you said, the image I just got was, so ego just winds us up, literally like a wind up toy.
Yeah.
You know, just so tightly spun. Sets it down and goes, sit still. Why can't you sit still?
Yeah.
I mean, literally torture.
Exactly.
Literally torture.
Total torture.
What you would actually imagine, you know, a torturer doing to us.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just to bind that person up so tightly and just, you know.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, just seeing the selfless service behind that, too, just, it goes back, I think, to my mom's, and it's just that being able to be with.
Exactly.
Being able to be with, no matter how hard.
Exactly.
And I think a lot with my mom was so hard. I didn't want to be with it.
Yeah.
You know, it was just so painful.
And
it just feels like that same process.
Exactly.
That's going on.
It really is, Sequoia, isn't it? It's an exact parallel. Because there's that person so wound up, you know, being told to sit still. And the sort of drive to go, you know, good luck with that, you know. But the courage to be that mentoring presence, to be with her in that, however that looks in any given moment.
Yeah.
You know, in one moment, it might actually look like sitting with her on the cushion, you know, through that huge energy. In another moment, it might look like, well, you know what? Good. It got us so wound up. Let's go run around for a little while and then see how the sitting still might work out. You know, something where it's just really being present with, being appropriate to what's truly called for in this moment, not an idea of what's called for.
And a couple of things. First of all, I can see that oftentimes, I get the message that it's not okay. That winding up happens, and then there's that prohibition against movement.
Right.
You know, so that's just the double whammy.
Exactly.
And the other thing that just keeps coming to mind, was it in the email classic that I think it was?
Oh,
Musing? That beautiful poem.
Oh, that was a beautiful poem.
The caterpillar. And the woman who, I think it was a woman, who found a caterpillar with ants all over it.
Oh, yes,
and she
yes.
brushed the ants off and carried it to the other side of the road. And her friend said, "How I would just try not to look."
Yes.
And her friend said something about that why would you turn away from God?
Right. Right. And that even if I'm remembering it correctly, that part of it was the reason the friend brushed the ants off was for the friend. Right? Because the friend was so tortured by this caterpillar being eaten by the ants, but couldn't intervene.
Yeah.
And so the friend seeing that turmoil, I mean, it's such a perfect story for it because, you know, at least, again, I don't know if I'm remembering correctly, but there was a sense of the one woman was willing to sort of let nature take its course.
And be present to it.
And be present to it. Right.
Yeah.
But because her friend was so in turmoil about the ants taking, then the thing to do there was to brush the ants off and to set it aside. And
anyway, that was a great, I sit with that poem today. It really touched me.
Yeah.
Because I could just see that whole process here, just wanting to turn from certain things, instead of just seeing, God to the God in all of it.
Yeah. You know, and as you say that, it just occurs to me that when we can see it from that place, boy, it's back to what we were looking at with Lakota. We really do see the no separation and the selfless service. And there's a way in which we can even see the death of your mother as a service to the waking up process.
Right. I mean, boy, I can see so much in our whole relationship with the service behind that.
Yeah.
Just a regular Sunday morning.
Just it just underlines how, at least to me, there's so much motivation to hold ourselves with such tenderness and such care.
Mm.
You know. Cameron.
Feeling like everything, it just feels like everything that ever has been experienced is all coming to this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like there's this, in front of me there's, kind of like when you heard cattle into one of those channels, that everything
from all directions.
Mm-hmm. Everything is lined up so that now I can take this step into this.
Yeah.
That's frightening. So I'm reading this book that's just rocking my world, And what I'm seeing is that the being who has been practicing has been doing all of the things that you do, that come along, participate in everything, do this, do that, confront your fears, say yes, and the amount of things that have been done that were terrifying and that the human would not have done under any other circumstances have been huge.
Mm.
And so that has seemed like what's called for in practice, to confront your fears and your limitations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this most recent thing that I've said yes to confront my fears and limitations, it's showing me that the final or the real or whatever, I don't know what the words are, is the internal fears and limitations that are in place to keep the human being from being free.
Yeah.
From being free of being an I, a me, a mine.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah. Mm. And it's a cage that has been created to protect the human from all of the things that seem to be assaulting the human.
Like joy and
presence. Yeah, well, it doesn't appear that way.
Of course, that's right.
See that after a lot of examination.
Yeah.
And
yes, it feels like it's keeping us, quote, safe.
Yeah, yeah, because the there, people don't understand, people don't accept, people this, people
right.
that,
right.
And then so then this protective
right.
coating of conditioning gets all
right.
in there,
right.
and that's what becomes the comfort zone that we talk about.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and it feels like it's dangerous to
yes.
go out of the comfort zone.
Yep.
And when it actually is being described in this book that I talked about, that's really like just laying it out there, it's a cage.
Yeah.
It is a cage.
Boy, and it is, isn't it?
It totally is.
Yeah.
It totally is. I mean, I just spent the past year sitting in a cage, unable to take a step out of it.
Uh-huh.
And seeing the strength of that
yeah.
conditioning.
Yeah, and it's amazing because the walls of the cage are invisible most of the time.
Yeah,
so we don't realize we're in it.
Right, there are beliefs, assumptions.
Yeah, the walls are things like what I like, who I am. I don't do that. I do that. I'm good at that. I'm not good at that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's interesting to me.
Exactly.
I don't like that. Those people aren't like me. I'm like those people. They're better than me. They're worse than me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it all happens in such a kind of a transparent way, and the choices are made to feel good, which seems like what you, why would you not? And it's just, and even becoming as clear as it is right now that that's what's been going on, and
mm-hmm.
that cage, the assembling of that cage
mm-hmm.
that's invisible.
Yeah.
That I don't really even know what to start, but I know it's there. There is still
oh, sure.
some part that doesn't want to do this.
No.
I mean, that cage took a lot of time to build.
Quote part. Some quote part.
Yeah, some, that's the part.
Egocentric carbon conditioning.
That's the main player in the whole
Which
deal.
Is such a good sign. Right?
Yes.
Because what's happened is the cage is no longer invisible and the system is panicking.
Yeah.
Ooh. If the human sees the cage, that's huge trouble.
Yeah, so totally isn't it?
It's not, the game's not over, right?
It's
almost just the sort of battle, if you will, has just begun.
Yeah.
But in a way, once the cage is visible to the person, it's a foregone conclusion. That the system is...
Oh, let it be so.
Well, and you know what occurs to me, Cameron, is it's such good timing because the big bamboozle is such the perfect tool for that.
That's what I mean. It just seems like it, there's been a lot of this facing the fear externally, getting over those and going beyond and seeing that, the person didn't think she could do that, but she did.
Right.
She did a good job.
Right.
And so, it seems like it's all coming together in that sort of image of a channel just going.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm thinking here's this retreat coming up and everything that has been... moving in this direction, it's just continuing to move in this direction, and
A couple things about that. If I'm tracking what you said a minute ago, that's so huge, that seeing that in fact, even though that cage has been so in place, there have been a lot of things that the person has done that have been outside that cage, that have gone against it. And so, in fact, the only thing that keeps it in place is the invisible conversation around it. Yeah, but, you were still afraid, or you're not being successful, or whatever your version of that would be.
Mm-hmm.
So, to see, the momentum is already heading in that direction,
mm-hmm.
right? And also, because the big bamboozle is the whole design of it, at least the way that I'm experiencing it so far, is to highlight the con game and to highlight that even though we see the con game, it will just morph into the next thing and go right back underground.
It is so Yeah, so clever in the way that it goes surreptitiously underground and then comes up out of a hole over here where you're not looking, where you thought you cleaned up everything, and then all of a sudden it's right there.
And so fun that we're going to do a process in 2016 together as a Sangha of walking through the book together.
That's the other part that I just think, wow, because it's been working to the point of seeing that it's the conversation which kind of goes on, you know, along, you know, that's been going on all the time. I know we're not supposed to have a conversation, but that's not really a conversation. And
I don't think I'm having a conversation in the mind. Do you think I'm having a conversation?
Yeah.
No, I'm not having a conversation in the mind.
Yeah. And the other thing that I is a solace to me is that somebody in here has been battered around and thrown out and
chewed up and spit out and
holy cow, and still just keeps coming back and hanging in there. And it's like a miracle to me. It's like there is no reason, there's no explanation for that. You know, everything would say that was so humiliating that I should have just gone off at the first one.
Right.
And gone off and licked my wounds and found a nice cage.
A smaller place to live.
Yeah.
Where I can
live. Wouldn't have a smaller one, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And that's what a lot of people do, is I got to get a smaller place and a smaller place and a smaller. I mean, don't see that, but that's what's happening. Yeah, it's the way of transformation, right? That's what you're describing. It's just, it's all getting confronted. It's all being worn away.
And a lot of times it's not even feeling like that at all. It's just feeling like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I should just go off and have fun somewhere. But, you know,
come with me, my pretty.
Yeah, come with me, my darling.
So I think this whole
Sangha has been going towards this funnel that we're all going into for 2016 of really getting down to the nuts and bolts of letting this thing go.
Yeah. Oh, so good, isn't it?
It really. How to be so lucky is this?
Thank you. Scott?
I'm not sure where I'm going right now. Just now, the way of transformation of just seeing that, you know, that the writing that's in the Dining Hall in the Monastery talks about, you know, kind of giving up that obsession for a place that you'll never be. You know, you have to be peaceful all the time and harmonious, and to really invite in the being perturbed and upset and battered.
Right. It goes all the way back to our first conversation, right? Because being peaceful all the time, what it really translates to is getting what I want. So I'm going to get the skis that I want, the color that I want, the day is going to go, there's going to be no line, there's going to be... But what life does when we start getting on that unconscious track is it has to put people in line in front of us. It has to batter the skis. It has to cut the skis short. It has to, right? Because that's the compassionate thing to do to wake us back up.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was just seeing when that was being spoken of earlier, they just had that distance, that it's the ego. I mean, you know, that's kind of the point, but I just saw it clearly, that the ego is the one who's being battered and perturbed and upset. And in that way, because of course when you're identified with that being perturbed and upset and battered, you're like, and if you see it as in that little bit of a distance, that that's what's going on in the ego, then we're like, just line up those opportunities.
Right, exactly.
You know, because I just want to dissolve. I know that's not real. I know it's not me.
Right.
And this is the process of dissolving the ego.
Yeah.
So yes to everything that life's offering.
It's amazing, isn't it? Such a switch.
It's a big switch.
Yeah.
And that selfless service, you know, is interesting. That sort of, you know, seems to imply that there's no self. And that is what life is service.
Yes.
And
truly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everything, right? Yeah. I mean, there's a sense of like, you know, going to the shelter downtown and serving, that's service, right? But when we're here, boy, I was just looking at that the other day. It's all service. Mm-hmm. Brushing your teeth. Mm-hmm. You know, getting water to the Hermitage. Stacking wood. Doing dishes. Driving to the Haha. It's all service when we're here.
Yeah, that thanks for that. Because what I was noticing about that was I could really clearly see how the selfless service was being given to me by life all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, because life is service without self.
Right.
Can't really quite see how that's happening here. Not that that's a problem, because it's just been fun to receive. It seems like the service that is selfless and the receiving of that is the dissolving of the self.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to serve here?
Yes.
So that seems like that's kind of the first step for me, is receiving that service.
Uh-huh.
It is the dissolving of the self so that I can maybe be the service that is selfless.
Uh-huh. So when you say here, you can't really see it here. I'm not sure.
It's hard to say Scott's serving selflessly. You're doing, you know, whatever, this facilitation or doing this curriculum.
Gotcha.
It seems like there's self there.
I see.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah. And you're saying, and yet you can see, you see that you're the recipient of service.
Of selfless service. The example this week is I every day this week, which actually I don't think it's ever happened where every single day I had an opportunity to facilitate.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's these group opportunities, there was awareness coaching, there was one-on-one, and then there was some things yesterday. And what it called forth was just a full-on, wholehearted attempt to be here, period.
Uh-huh.
Not just for the call, but that sense that if that's really the motivation that I really want to be, do for the love of others, then that's, I want to do that in everything that I'm doing.
Right, right.
And what I got to see, all kinds of things, actually, but one of the most important things was it is actually possible for this person to practice being present all the time.
Right.
You know, with the food.
Right.
Going for it in each meditation.
Right.
And if the bridge between the person who thinks he's a self to presence is, well, I'm doing it for other people, then fine.
Right.
You know, because what I got to see in that is that that's possible for this person.
Right. Mm. Right. And
in that process, there's a dissolving of the self.
Right.
Because I can see there doesn't need to be a someone.
Exactly.
Walking through. I don't need to be in a conversation, actually. In fact, I can actually train myself to not be in that conversation.
Yeah.
So it sort of felt like life, selflessly. You know, maybe if you share a Huber or the monastery, it was like, here, do all these.
Uh-huh.
I want you to show up every day for these people.
Uh-huh.
You know, and somebody's like, I can't do that every day. Or like, oh man, no, that's a lot of pressure. Or there's this new thing on Saturday, and I don't know about that. And but it's like, well, I'm going to do it.
Right.
You know, and that happens all the time. We're asked to do stuff, and the person's like, I don't know about that.
Uh-huh.
There's that resistance.
Yes.
But he says yes to it because that's what he's asked to do.
Right.
And in that process of, to me, that's the service, being asked to do these things.
Right.
The self is dissolving.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So connect for me how that isn't selfless service.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what I was saying. I appreciate what you're saying because I realized there's kind of a bamboozle in there.
Okay.
That it was easy to project out there.
Sharing
the monastery, the life, that's selfless service.
Yeah.
And here's this guy who's just basically being trained out of that self.
Right.
You know, but it's that thing all the time where you can project the Buddha out there and not see the Buddha here.
It's exactly the process Penny was talking about, isn't it? Like, oh, beautiful quilt. Yeah, whatever about that other thing that I did.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're describing, is there's just this, I mean, we can't say in it who's receiving, who's giving. It's all like socks in a washer.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a bunch of giving and receiving. And that is the whole point, isn't it? Is that Scott is worn away in that.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest receiving of all. you know, from the conditioned perspective, and, you know, the blame us because we're trained this way, it's like, I want to be a good facilitator, and I want to, you know, do good things, and I want to be responsible, and I want to, And, you know, okay, as you say, that's a perfectly good starting point, because that gets us to a certain place, and then we ultimately see, oh, shoot, darn, there's still an I, you know, and that just doesn't serve, in the end, anything or anyone, and so the greatest thing we receive is that that gets worn away in the process of just saying yes and showing up to whatever it is.
Yeah, I saw it in particular in a one-to-one yesterday that it just, the yesterday kind of got built up into like it's this big thing. It became a thing instead of just showing up and being with someone in my life. Yeah. And so I got through the first, I got through the
first one.
So the first one ended, and there was an immediate evaluation of, it's funny, it wasn't really hateful, but it was just kind of like, can I do that over? Because there was a distraction of someone needing to show up and do this thing, and it was a different thing, and it really needed to, you know? And then it dropped in, that that's what was going on there, an evaluation, and there was an I, and I don't know, there was something about in that awareness, in that letting go of that evaluation, was the dissolving of the self.
Exactly.
And in that sense, who knows what that was like for the other person on the other phone line, if it was of any service at all. And any time that there's a dissolving of the self here, that's a service to everybody.
Exactly.
You know, it's like there was just a let go of the reviews and yay, thank you for the dissolving in this moment.
Exactly.
And back to focusing on gratitude or the breath or whatever, you know, our, the focus is.
And in that biggest picture, you know, it takes me back to what we were talking about with Sequoia. So there's her mom being a bodhisattva for the waking up process. Yeah. There's the first person of your day being a bodhisattva.
Yeah,
for
exactly.
You know, just,
And then just, thank you for that. That it's just, it's all one thing working together.
Yeah.
It's just, it's all, life's all waking up.
Right.
It's not like Scott's waking up.
Scott's waking up and gotta make sure, and gotta make sure I'm a contribution, and I didn't take anything from anyone, and, you know. Yeah.
It's amazing that that St. Augustine quote came off earlier in Greece, that, you know, we marvel at the mountains and the waterfalls, but we pass by because there was a moment yesterday where I was walking into the archway and the light over the mountains was like I remembered it on that and I thought
there's a little picture that goes with it.
And I did a kind of moonwalk onto the porch because I was looking at the sky and wiping my feet and, you know, thinking of this St. Augustine quote, and it just so fit with the experience of the day yesterday. It was like just this huge joy, huge joy, and I think because there was a seeing this, not passing it by unnoticed, and not owning it, and there's just that, I think part of that experience is a letting go of the looking to conditioned mind for information about how I'm doing, or who I am, or anything, or about the world. And I it was just so happy.
That is so joyful, isn't it? What a relief.
Yeah.
To not have to constantly be watched, constantly checking in. How am I doing? How am I feeling? Is it okay? I could probably do a little better, couldn't I? I mean, I'm doing okay, but I'm terribly today.
And I think, a couple of things about that. One, there seems to be some big shift in the system where it's like you can feel in the internal landscape that you know, not knowing, but that intuitive knowing, that you are doing your best to be present and conscious in each moment.
Yeah.
And so you're not interested in participating in that.
Right. Right. So you're doing your best to just be here.
Yeah.
And so you lose interest in participating in the conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and don't want to participate in asking it for information about how I'm doing.
Right, because we already know what the answer is. I mean, that we're never going to get any information from that system that's going to be of any assistance to what we actually want, which is to train to be here.
Exactly.
Because it doesn't want us to be here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, you kind of disidentify from levels of it and levels of it and levels of it. Like, I got to see this week there was a period of working meditation, working on a project where I agreed to a certain structure for it. Like, 10-minute timer, 10-minute timer, 10-minute timer, mm-hmm. and then 10 minutes of walking, looking at the sky, recording and listening, mm-hmm. laughing mm-hmm. into the recorder, and then back. And I got to see this stuff going on about, well, how exactly am I going to do that structure? Like, when to start the timer? Is it when I press the first key? Or like, you know, a bit of a run-up at it? Mm-hmm. And what dropped in was just the simplicity, the joyous and practical guide saying, Anna, just do what you said you were going to do.
Mm.
And what I got to see in that was all that stuff takes me away from seeing this, seeing that she's doing what she said she was going to do.
Yeah.
And just receiving that.
Right.
And it was like that yesterday in working meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Just seeing that she was doing what she'd been asked to do in this case, and just there was such joy in that, such joy in not letting it be taken away.
Boy, then we just get to actually be present to it.
Yes.
You know, so instead of being in that cage that we were talking about earlier, seeing how the human is actually living outside the cage.
Yeah.
Right? By just keeping the agreements, doing what she's asked to do, saying yes to what comes along.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes, and in that also seeing, getting to disidentify from that process that was turning awareness practice into like a very paranoid second guessing, you know, always questioning motives, like, well, where's that coming from, what's going on there, what's, you know, and just letting her be, just letting her be.
Yeah, which is really such an experience of it's not what, it's how.
Yes.
Because the, quote, practice, when it's done from the same process that we're karmically engaged in, it's not actually practice.
Yeah.
It's just reinforcing the karmic behavior.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just reinforcing ego. And, you know, there was something about being sick recently where I was in my hermitage and just being here, being here, being here. And I could feel a push to kind of get back in the schedule and get back doing all of these kind of practice activities, like getting to come to group and all of that. And it was almost like life saying, this, just being here, being here, is spiritual practice.
Yes,
do you want to do it? And I said yes, and everything's been different.
That's huge. That it truly is very, very simple. And that everything we do, in theory, in practice, is serving that.
Yes.
But there can be a confusion. And
yes.
we can get talked into doing it through the same karmic filter, which is fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to happen. You know, it's what the Big Bamboozle is about.
Right.
It's going to happen to all of us.
Exactly.
And that, over time, that will slowly get taken over and slowly. But that's okay. We can relax knowing that when we pay attention, that sooner or later, we'll see that that's happened.
Yeah.
And we'll come back to the simplicity of just being here.
It truly is that everything's the same and everything's different.
Everything's different.
Because when I can feel it, that that's all we're doing, then I'm just no.
You can't judge it. Can't interest you. Can't, you know. I don't want to have that conversation.
Yeah,
I just want to be here.
Truly. There's a group recording I was listening to recently where Sherry was talking about, you know, we might find ourselves caught in something and we stop and say, do I choose that over unconditional love? And she offered this little exercise where, imagine, you know, you get to have dinner with anybody in the world, dead or alive, anybody from the universe ever. And you're sitting down with them and you get to spend time with them, would you be doing that?
Right.
I mean, it might come in and say, why'd you say that? Look, right. They're obviously bored. But would you? No. And so I've just been practicing that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I get, and there's just such the humor to it as well.
Yeah.
Because I chose to have to live with Tolstoy and Gandhi.
Uh-huh.
Because they were really great friends, but they never got to meet.
Uh-huh.
Because Tolstoy died before they got to meet. So
you got to facilitate that.
Right. Three vegetarians out on the town.
Yeah.
Arguing about their own. And it Tolstoy forgets the English word for something. I can help.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Perfect. So I've been just, you know, when I find myself quoting things like snippy little things. Like, so I say, Tolstoy, Gandhi, finish your soup. I'm just going to rant on about this for 15 minutes.
Right, exactly. But I'll be right back.
Just have your soup while I talk to you about this thing. Would I choose that? No, I don't choose that now. I don't choose that for the world. I don't choose that for this. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
I
love it. What a fun practice.
Thank you.
June. I don't really have much to say. Just this is the best morning, the best time of the week. Being I'm not experienced any mornings.
Amen.
It just helps mirror the places that I veer from love during the week, and that I'm not always conscious that that's what's going on. Lots of metaphors for things that are going on and different ways of seeing them. A lot of gratitude for
Sangha. That's fun because, of course, in that, the places of love are also being mirrored.
Yeah.
Do you know? Right? So there's So getting to come down and be in the midst of folks where we can see ourselves. We can see that all of us, each of us, is that goodness and that unconditional love and that presence. And
I just want to tag on to one of those wonderful comments. I love that idea about the dinner with someone. And would you be, what conversation would you, like, of course not. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
And I had the most delightful experience of that yesterday.
Mm.
Kind of participating in this thing that the voices were saying, like, oh, no, you can't. This is too big. That was one great thing that I saw. It was all week long, kind of in preparation, the voices were like, this is too big, you can't do this.
Right.
And what I realized was like, actually that's true, I can't.
That's right.
But life absolutely can.
Definitely.
No problem.
Yes, life asked life to do it, so life must be ready to do it.
And life did it. It was what it was.
Yeah.
It was absolutely fine.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, eating food or whatever, and then there was like, I could just see it coming in. With the reviews and the rehashing, it was like, you can see that, the what is it called, the Monday morning quarterback kind of going back over and like, see that? And there's that. And next time you better. Oh my gosh. And all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I saw it come in and it's like, I loved the attitude of mind and heart that came up. It was this, I almost pictured like a couple of like just joyful, sweet, innocent little kids.
Uh-huh.
Who were having lunch together,
uh-huh.
and we're just laughing at that, like,
sweet,
yeah, right, who's this guy? This guy stinks. Get out of here. We're eating lunch. Uh-huh. And then the kids kind of said to each other, like, what do you want to do this afternoon? You want to do yoga?
Yeah.
I totally want to do yoga. I love yoga. Let's do it. What do you think about the soup? It's the best I've ever had. And just started having this really playful, silly, sweet conversation.
Yeah.
It was like, don't you really love being with me rather than being in that. I was like, sure do. And it was just so fun.
Yeah.
It was so fun. Anytime I saw it, like, just circle around like a shark. Like, I think Sherry used that image in the workshop. It was helpful. See, so circling around, just bonk, pop in the nose.
Yeah.
She just laugh at it, like, whatever.
Yeah.
I can do this.
Yeah. Gosh, it's such a fun description, because it's like, what I project onto those two little kids is those are two kids who are really well cared for.
Yeah.
And they've been really well loved.
Yeah.
And they know that they're totally fine.
Yeah.
And they're not in trauma. And they're not in danger.
Yeah.
And they're not constantly criticized. And so then a grown-up, you know, quote grown-up, an adult comes along who's mean and hateful. And there's just a sense of, like, what's going on there? I mean, come on, we don't need to have anything to do with that.
Right.
And just going right on with our lives.
Which is, yeah, that's lovely. With that image, too, you can imagine a couple kids, lovely, happy, healthy, cared for kids,
right,
out playing in the yard, some rotten, kind of nasty adult coming, kids aren't going to get upset and think about, like, oh, God, what do I do? It's going to be like, whatever. Anyway, you want to go to the board, and then we're
going to,
yeah!
Exactly. That's a great image.
The energy just stayed right here. It was like, none of it got dissipated. I got to just enjoy it all day long.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for that.
What a gift.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you all.